Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today's bookish guest is Cameron and Gabby from the Lure Us podcast. Hi!
Hi! Thank you so much for having
us. Hello!
So happy. Excited.
So happy to have you both here. So, Gabby, why don't you start and tell us a little about yourself, and then Cameron will tell us a little about herself.
Sure. So I'm a co-host of the Literally Us podcast. My name is Gabby, and I'm an avid romance reader. I've been reading this genre for about like 6 years now. I absolutely love it. It's my all-time favorite. I probably read like about, like now I'm reading a lot less. I probably read between like 2-3 to 4 romance books a week. I used to work in romance, in publishing, and I worked for a romance imprint because I just loved romance so much that I wanted to work there. And I just love this genre.
I love it. And how about you, Cameron? Tell us a little about yourself.
Sure. So, hi, I'm Cameron. I'm the other co-host of the Literally Us podcast, as you know. I'm also a very avid romance reader. I've been reading it for years now. I grew up reading a lot of like YA romances, and then eventually just sort of like upgraded to adult romances, and I haven't looked back since. I am a full-time book publicist, but on the side, I'm a freelance writer. I cover a lot of romance books and mainstream media outlets and try to like champion it, bring awareness to the genre more. I've written in places like the Washington Post, PR, Glamour, to name a few. Yeah, so excited to be here.
So I got a question. How did you two meet?
Well, we worked together at a publishing house in the city. And the person who I was assisting, my boss, had said, oh, you need to meet Cameron. You guys read the same exact type of books. So then she introduced us. And then one day in the hallway, were we talking about Emma Chase?
I think so. Yeah. We just like started talking about books we're reading and books we're all like that are on our TBR piles. And we'd have these like rapid fire sessions in the hallway or like on our way to the restroom or like, you know, grabbing coffee, and we just chat and talk about books.
So yeah, and then friendships formed from there.
Exactly.
So what inspired you to start the podcast?
Well, I ended up leaving my job in book publishing because it's a really long story. If I started a small shop, and it exploded. And so I was very fortunate enough that I got to do that full time. And, but I was really sad that I was going to be leaving romance books and I wasn't going to see Cameron all the time because we would literally chat every day about romance books. And so when we were talking, we kind of came up with like, we had been toying with the idea of doing a podcast, but then with me leaving, it kind of really like lit a fire under us. And we were like, let's do this.
Yeah, we were like, you know, now or never, and literally now. So we were like, let's hunker down. And, you know, the podcast has really given us a platform to talk about books. And fortunately, you know, as it turns out, we like very similar books. We have very similar tastes in romance books. So it sort of like organically formed a podcast, and let's just, you know, keep the conversation going.
I love it. And so how do you select books that you're going to read together, that you're going to share in the podcast, you recommend? How do you come up with those romance topics?
It's actually pretty organic. Like we really like try to pay attention to our surroundings, the conversations that are happening in Romancelandia. We're also like big like pop culture fans. So we try to keep up with what's going on in pop culture and movies and celebrities and shows and kind of run the, and our interests really run the gamut. So we pay attention to, you know, phenomena that are happening and what books people are talking about on Twitter and in that conversations. And, you know, like I said, we have very similar tastes in books. So oftentimes if we see a book, if we see like a cover reveal for a book, the other person will text each other or like DM each other and be like, we have to do this. Mm-hmm. We kind of, you know, expand on each other's ideas. And it's a very organic process. And sometimes like we'll often do episodes like by the seat of our pants. Like there was this one episode very recently that Gabby was like, oh, let's reread Wallbanger, because we make a habit of rereading a lot of these books and kind of looking at it in today's limelight to see how they've aged, whether they can really withstand the test of time. So we did that. And I was like, I love that idea because I loved Wallbanger. Mm-hmm. And so we did that episode, you know, very spontaneously. And another episode was like, you know, it's called Tackling Our Romance Reading Piles. And it's basically like, I suggested we should pick a book from our reading shelf that we haven't read before, that we've been telling ourselves we want to read. And so we just did that by Helen Huang, and Gabby did a book by Mariana Zapata.
I love it.
Yeah, I think one thing with us is that anytime we're like, oh, let's read, oh, I want to read this book, so I'll text Cameron, and she'll be like, oh, I saw this, I want to read this too. It's very, mm-hmm. we're very in sync, mm-hmm. and I think that that's one thing that is just makes it really unique for us is that, I mean, it might be boring to some, but we always have the same views, and so the entire time we're cracking up because it's like, you thought that, I thought that too, yeah. And then we just go on like these crazy like spiels together.
I love it. And so
we're sometimes like very spontaneous about it. And, you know, one person will text each other, text the other person, like, a link to a book. The other person will be like, oh my gosh, this is already on my radar. Let's do something on this.
That's a really cool way to look at it. It's just like to be in the know of the community and at the same time be like, what inspires you mm-hmm. to read, and then have somebody else to buddy greet them and just connect and talk about it. Mm-hmm. Fine. So, and
exactly. You like hit it right on the head. It's like a virtual book club for us where mm-hmm. a lot of our friends don't really read romance books. So it's like, it's really fun engaging with someone who does and who has the same taste in the genre as you do, who you can have like these like, you know, vivacious and like fun conversations with.
Yeah.
That's one way to describe them.
So now you're interviewing authors, which is kind of like fun. So what's the process like to pick the authors and prep for those interviews? What kind of questions do you ask? What's unique about your interviews?
Well, I'll say this. Cameron gets all the credit for getting authors. She is like a rock star with that. Like she'll be like, who do you want to interview? And I'll literally just spew a name out there and she'll be like, okay, we're interviewing them on this date. Like, she is a rock star at getting that. But I think for us, we always like to pick authors whose books we enjoy reading, or if we've met the author in person and we can't wait to interview, we want to interview them so badly. I think that's where we tend to go.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And one thing we also do is, like, we really try to diversify our reading lists and also pay attention to what our listeners like to read. So we try to, you know, combine several different ideas and figure out what authors we think would really, you know, that people would really enjoy having on, that having, you know, that we would enjoy having a conversation with. And so that's why, like, I think one thing we really prioritize, like, conversation flow with authors. And so that when we're interviewing authors, their books, it's not just a Q&A. It's an opportunity for us to really talk to them about their inspirations, about their writing, and about some of the books that, you know, are like on our like 5-star all-time favorite lists.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So now let's talk about romance. And I think I'm going to start with Gabby. You mentioned you read romance about 6 years ago. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. It all starts to blend. I think it was about like 5 or 6 years ago at this point.
Okay, so what inspired you to start reading romance, and what do you love about the genre?
So I started reading romance because I was in college and I had, you know, like I had a really long winter break then, mm-hmm. and I had read The Martian, and I loved that there was like a little romance in there, and I loved it, and I was like, oh, I love this. So I then started reading a ton of YA again, which just like killed me because of all the love triangles. I couldn't do it. And I was like, I hate these things. I'm never reading this again. And so then I discovered romance, and I read R.S. Gray's The Duet, and yep. I fell in love with the genre.
Yeah. R.S. Gray was your gateway drug to the genre?
It was. It was the first one I read, and I was like, oh, this is great. And then I read Christina Lauren, A Beautiful Bastard, and then I read Wallbanger. And I think, like, those three books, like, they're three of my all-time favorite books. Like, I would read them again and again and again today. And it was, like, those three books that just kind of did it for me.
I love it.
Yeah.
How about you, Cameron? When did you start reading romance?
So I read, like I mentioned, a lot of YA romances. Like, I love, you know, Jenny Han, Jen Kalanita, Sarah Dessen, like those authors were my jam. Like yeah. it was like one of those things where I would like wait in line at a Barnes and Noble just to like have them sign my books. As Gabby knows that I do. But yeah, and then like someone told me about 50 Shades of Grey, and I was like, oh, I like don't know how I feel about it, but you know, it was all the rave and people were talking about it. It was my first foray into adult romance. So I read it, and you know, obviously going into it, I was aware of like all of the issues and controversies surrounding the trilogy, but I was like, let me, you know, just like dip into the book and kind of make my own judgment. And I really fell in love with the love story because it was like my first foray into that kind of romance where a couple can have a happy ever after. Whereas in YA romances that I was so used to, it was more often that it was a happy for now, where you couldn't really envision these like teenagers having like a blissfully like happy ever after life. Mm-hmm. And you can in these adult romances. So once I read 50 Shades of Grey, I read Bear to You by Sylvia Day, I read that entire Crossfire series, Christina Lauren, Wallbanger, and it just like went on and on and on.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey.
It's been a journey. For some reason, I did read 50 Shades of Grey, and it did not inspire me to read romance. Like, I think mm-hmm. it took me a few years later to get into romance, but mm-hmm. 50 Shades of Grey was one of those books where I was like, I read it, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I realized for me, most of my romance experience is, like, I love romance adjacent stories. You had
yes.
a love story of some sort, and so that helped mm-hmm. me. And it took me, you know, a few years later for me to discover the genre, so.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think because it was, like, I was just so curious, and I had yeah. never, like, read that kind of book. And in YA romances, as I'm sure all of you know, it's a very, like, emotionally intimate romance. Uh-huh. They never really, they don't always take it to the next level. Or if they do, it's, like, behind closed doors. Yep. So when I read this book, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is this
world? Well, you went from one extreme to the next.
Yeah. Literally, yeah. So I was like, what is this? I was so fascinated. So I just like, I needed to like satiate that thirst, and I kept like going in for more and more. Yeah. And obviously, like, I've evolved as a reader since then. Yeah. That I can like you know, now like ascertain like what I actually like. Back then it was like it was a novel experience.
Yeah, I can imagine. I feel like that's a shock. Coming from YA, YA novels were just behind closed doors, to then be like, hello there.
Exactly. Well, I remember I borrowed these books from the library. So I like got the first book. I sat down at the library and was just like breezing through them, and I couldn't keep a straight face. Because I was just like shocked. I was like, what is this? Like, what is happening? I was very scandalized.
Looking over your shoulder.
Got over that very quickly. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I got over that very quickly.
I love it. So now let's talk about romance tropes, because we have figured out what we like and what we don't like about romance. what are some of your go-to women's tropes? And let's go Cameron first, and then we'll go to Gabby.
My favorite romance tropes. That's a hard one because I feel like I dip into so many different. Enemies to lovers is my all-time fave. Enemies to lovers and forbidden love, I don't know if that's like a trope per se, but those two are definitely my favorite because I feel like the book starts off on like a very high energy level that it the whole book for me, the story just feels like an adrenaline rush. And I like ride that wave of the couple being together and like, will they, won't they? And all of the, you know, surrounding conflicts that they have to overcome to be together. And it can be very tantalizing. And I love that.
So do you have any suggestions for forbidden love romance?
So for forbidden love, one book that I read that I absolutely loved was The Forbidden Man by Karina Hotley. And it's a recent book. I think it just came out in December 2019. And it's about, it is an older woman, younger man romance, but it's also the man is like a football player in Spain or like a soccer player. And she's his physical therapist. Like she's a sports physical therapist for the entire team. And there's a non-fraternization rule in place. So they're like sneaking glances at each other. And it's, I was just like, head over heels for that book. It got to a point where it inspired me to want to go to Spain. Like I was actually looking up flights, obviously not now, but yeah, back then for sure. I was like, let me find my own football romance.
Yeah, I love it. How about you, Gabby? What are some of your favorite romance tropes?
So I would say I love second chance romance and I like the single parent trope.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I really love that one.
Do you have any suggestions for either second chance or single parent? So
for the single parent, I liked Worth the Fall by Claudia Connor.
Okay.
Ride Steady by Kristen Ashley.
Oh yeah.
Down Too Deep by Jay Daniels. Irresistible by Melanie Harlow. Yep. Those were all really good single parent tropes. And then I couldn't even think of a second chance romance because there's just so many out there that like I can't even think of one, which sounds horrible. I like Sweet Dreams by Kristen Ashley. I think that was second chance. Or is that, no, that might've been single parent. Lovely Trigger, the Tristan and Danica, that third book in that, in RK Lily series. I always read that one. I liked For You by Kristen Ashley. So there's just a few.
I love it. Thank you.
Oh, and I forgot to mention my enemies to lovers picks, but I would recommend The Hating Game by Sally Thorne because it's just amazing. Anything You Can Do or Arrogant Devil by R.S. Gray. They're both so good. Rom-com and like just funny, passionate, witty repartee. A romance and story, you can't get enough of it. From Lukov with Love by Mariana Zapata, they're two like rivaling figure skaters, and then they have to team up for the Olympics. And most recently, You Deserve Each Other by Sarah Hogle, which I really love. It's so cute. It's like it's a relationship in trouble trope, but it's also enemies to lovers because the two engaged people don't like each other, don't want to get married, but they also don't want to cave in. Like they kind of like want to play the victim. They want to play the good guy in front of society. So they're playing chicken with the other person to get them to call it quits. And in the meantime, they fall in love again. So it's really entertaining.
Yeah, that's a fun book. It's a book that's been, for some reason, has been polarizing. Like it's either you either love it and they absolutely love it or DNF it and absolutely hate it. It's like, it is not, I haven't seen any in between, kind of like a 3-star. It's more like it's a 1-star or it's a 5-star. Most of our written tweets are 5-stars. So it's a book that I like.
I get that because I think that the beginning starts off a little bit slower and then it really picks back up. So I think if you're invested in it, if you want to like keep on it, then it'll pay off.
Yeah.
But if you're just reading the beginning and then you DNF it, it's like, that's, I get where you're coming from.
Yeah. So All right. So how about, what are your least favorite romance tropes? Cameron.
So I would say one would be like extreme bully romance, yeah, where like the hero goes to like a lot of lengths to humiliate the heroine for no other reason than he likes her. And I'm like, okay, come on, get real. You're not in the playground anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you're a grown up. Just do your job. And then I would say like, I would say like least favorite is a strong word for this, but friends to lovers is one I don't necessarily gravitate towards a lot. Mostly because for me, it feels like a long-winded, like slow burn, you know, will they, won't they relationship, or will they, won't they setup, where it basically takes the entire book for them to get together. And I feel like I prefer reading about the beginning of a couple, or like, you know, the duration of a couple, not so much a couple who like can't get over their insecurities, or keep watching their friends like hook up with other people, but they can't like act on their feelings.
Love it. Yeah. I think for me, friends to lovers, it has to, there's something to be said about the unrequited love. It's like, I like you, but I won't be able to tell you that I like you. And you're like, okay, like each other, work it out.
Exactly. It's like, totally. And it's like, if you're gonna play that game, do it in the beginning and then spend the rest of the book figuring out if you're, you know, if what you feel for each other or like can really sustain, but don't spend the entire book chasing after each other. And then, you know, for the book to end in like, you know, a neatly wrapped happy ever after. And the reader's like, what did I just read?
Yeah. How about you, Gabby? What is your least favorite romance trope?
So, not that we see this a lot, but I have two, so not that we see this one a lot anymore, but I don't really like dark romances. Mm-hmm. I feel like that used to be all like the rage, and I couldn't even read one today. It's just something about them. I just don't think that they really work anymore. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be surprising, but I cannot stand enemies to lovers when there's like, specifically when there's slapstick humor rom-com. In like a rom-com, it drives me insane. It makes me hate the book. I hate the characters. I hate it all.
That's a great unpopular opinion. I love it.
That's fair.
Oh, I can think of some now. It's already like making
me get that. I get that. I think like, I'm not a big fan of like slapstick humor either. I think I've more like, when it comes to enemies to lovers, especially, I really like the banter between them. Like, they have to have sparking chemistry. Uh-huh. And then for that chemistry to like fuel their banter. Right. Like I don't want them to like hate each other, but I want it to be like, you know, just enough hate for it to feel like it's going to go somewhere.
That's why the hating game worked.
Yeah.
And where exactly what I don't like in enemies, so I guess I shouldn't say enemies to lovers. I should say I don't like hate to love. I hate when they absolutely hate each other and then it's like they're mm-hmm. together. It's like you just spent half the book hating this person. There is no way you're in love.
Yeah.
I don't care what way you look at it. There's just no way.
Yeah. There's yeah. like, there's there, they give like a poor excuse of why they spent the entire book or like all these years like hating for the heroine. And it's like, really? Come on.
No, yeah. We're in love. Yeah, please.
Yeah, I had an issue when it's like, it goes from like complete hate to 5 minutes later to like, I'm absolutely love you. And you're like, I'm saying I love you. And then you're the greatest person on earth. And you're like, but you hated him like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's hate to love. I hate it. And especially slapstick humor. I can't. With those, that combo, it's like it's deadly to me.
Oh my god. Now we know what we should not be giving you.
Yes, exactly.
What are some like examples of slapstick humor that you like can't stand?
Like, I don't want to specifically call out a book, but just like, you know,
but something, like an instance.
So it'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm like naked in the hallway because I locked myself out of my apartment. You know, it's like, come on, are you kidding? We all live in a paranoid world. There is no way that would happen. It's just, how many times have you read about it? That's what it is. You know what I mean? It's just not even funny.
Yeah.
So dumb.
Yeah, I think
no offense to anyone who wrote that. I really pulled that out of nowhere. So
yeah, I think for me, it's one of my issues with that kind of humor is when the author is trying to be really funny. It's just not funny. Like, it doesn't translate to the page, you know?
Yeah,
I
know. It has to be like when a book is organically funny, there's nothing better.
Yeah.
And then, like, not to go into a tangent, because I know that's what we're known for, but, like, then you go on Goodreads or Amazon, and you read, like, these 5-star reviews gushing about how good the book is, and you're like, did we read the same book? What is going on?
Yeah. It's like, really, I'm like, oh, it's historically funny, and I'm like, this was not funny. The joke fell off that. You
know? No. The struggle is real.
So let's go, Karim, what kind of romance do you love? You read contemporary, paranormal, historical, dark, fantasy? There's too many romance.
Way too many for the better. I would say I read a little bit of everything, but if there's one that I really gravitate towards, it's contemporary romances. So a few books that, you know, I read this year that I absolutely loved in the contemporary genre is like, or I guess like this year, next year, within the span of a few months, if we're like flexing. But so there's the Kingmaker and Rebel King books by Kennedy Ryan.
So good.
Which absolutely love. I mean, I could not get over it. And Wild Heart by Kay Tucker, which was a lit pick for us in our podcast because we absolutely loved it. So we recommended it to our listeners. There was All Grown Up by Vi Keelan, which is also an age gap romance where the woman is older and the man is younger. And they're, you know, kind of like trying to like navigate their relationship. And most recently, I just finished reading Beach Read by Emily Henry. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone's talking about it, and it's so good. And I think it helped. And I don't know if this was the intention of the author, but I think it sort of like helped redefine what a beach read is, mm-hmm. at least for me.
I love it. Yeah, Beach Read is on my TBR. It's a long, mm-hmm. I got a long TBR, but that's one of those hyped up books that everyone was loving it. And there, it's even though it's like a beachy read and it's like, has a really cute cover, there are some heavy subjects to be met and dealt with.
Truly. But I didn't expect that at all. I thought, you know, I thought it was going to be lighthearted. I thought it was going to be a beach read. And, you know, it teaches you that just because something is called a beach read does not mean it needs to be, like, it teaches you that there are very different, like, everyone has their own take on what a beach read is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, you know, we see these roundups, like, X beach reads you want to read this summer. And sometimes it feels very arbitrary, but this book shows that it's not arbitrary, that it's unique to someone, and it's how they define a beach read, which is already a very vague term.
Okay. And Gabby, you love contemporary romance. So what have been some of your favorite books of this year?
So I'm going to be honest. I think I've read one new contemporary book this year.
Have you read a historical?
I read a historical.
Okay.
But I have reread probably 100 times more than new books I've read this year.
Okay.
I think I've been in like a book funk. So I read Wild at Heart, which I absolutely loved.
Okay.
I read The Honey Don't List by Christina Lauren.
Yep.
So that, and I found their voice is just always so great. Mm-hmm. But some contemporary romance books that I reread that I loved was like From Luke Up With Love with Mariana Zapata. That's one of my all-time faves. I read like the How to Date a Douchebag series. I read The Learning Hours book. Mm-hmm. I love that book. It is, it has such a unique hero. Someone, he's really shy, and I've never read a hero like him. It's one of my all-time favorite books. I've reread the contemporary, but it's the J.M. Darhauer series. That's like The Monster in His Eyes, which was a mob romance that mm-hmm. I spiced it up a bit. And then I reread Nordic King by Karina Halley recently.
Love it. How's Nordic King, by the way?
Oh my gosh, it's one of my all-time favorites. I've probably read it like 10 times.
Yeah, I read, I think The Swedish Queen, I read a couple of the princes in that series. I think
that's the best one. And I think that has the most ratings on Goodreads too. So okay. For like the third book in the series to have like the most ratings out of all the books.
Yeah.
I think it says a lot.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with Cameron. What has been three books you read this past month that you would recommend?
This past month, who?
For a couple months. It doesn't have to be.
Okay. That's better because I feel like I'm in the same boat as Gabby. I've just been rereading a lot of books. So I kind of feel bad, but I'm learning to accept it. I would say one book that I read that I really loved was The Last Train to Key West by Chanel Clayton. I got an advanced copy of it. It comes out June 15th, and it is so good. I mean, Chanel Clayton's writing is amazing, and, you know, Next Year in Havana is one of my absolute faves. I really loved When We Left Cuba, and this one, I think it deals with the stories of three women and how they like their paths intersect in the Key West as they're like preparing for this like major hurricane to come on shore. So it's really sweet, and it's, you just like fall in love with the ensemble of characters. I would say, you know, I finally finished reading The Bride Test by Helen Huang. I know a lot of people are shocked about it, but yeah, it was like one of those books that I had on my TBR pile and just like never got around to. And I read it and I really loved it. I think it's so sweet. And one indie book that I read that I really loved was Devious Lies by Parker S. Huntington.
Okay.
And it's like a good old fashioned, like enemies to lovers. It's really good. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Can't wait. I actually have to check that one out. That indie author right now. Have you read some of her backlogs, or is she good?
That's actually, I know she has a backlist, but that's the first book I've read of hers.
Okay.
And after I read it, like I just kept getting ads on my Kindle of the book cover because I think it's on like Kindle Unlimited. So I'm like, it was fate. Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. If it's Kindle Unlimited, I'm definitely going to read them because I don't know, for some reason, I have Kindle Unlimited, but I don't use it as much, and so I'm trying to get the habit of reading at least one or two KU books, you know?
Yeah, it's a big book, and it's sort of slow burn, but it's like a delicious kind of slow burn. So you actually want to savor the story. You don't feel like it's actually dragging.
I love it. Is it slow burn like Marianne Zapata's slow burn or just a regular slow burn?
Oh, no, I think it's a regular slow burn.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. You know,
There. Yeah. There's some sexy moments, and it's like they get real close in a few instances, and, you know, the hero hates the heroine. The heroine doesn't like the hero much either, but like she's trying to keep her identity quiet because they've known each other in the past, and like, you know, she's trying to get by, and she likes to push his buttons, and he lets them push them. Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm going to pick that one up next.
Yeah. I hope you like it.
Yeah. How about you, Gabby? What have been a couple of books you read in the past few months you recommend?
So I loved Chasing Cassandra by Lisa Kleypas.
Okay.
I don't read a lot of historical, but I read that book and I absolutely loved it. Another book that I read was A Lie for a Lie by Helena Hunting.
Yep.
And I really, really liked that book. I liked it a lot. I also read My Life in Shambles by Karina Halley.
Mm-hmm.
That was really good. It was really sweet, sad, emotional. It was really funny at times. That was just like a really good contemporary romance, which really good indie contemporary romance, which I feel like I haven't been reading as much. And I really feel like I've been picking up some good ones.
Mm-hmm.
I would say those three really stood out to me.
I love it. So what books are on your TBR?
What isn't on mine? I would say for me, I want to read Queen Move by Kennedy Ryan.
Yep.
I want to read that book, Meet You in the Middle. And Charming Like Us by Krista and Becca Ritchie.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's Jack and... Is that Jack? I think so.
I mean, am I that excited? No, because I really want Sully's book.
Okay, Sully's book is a little controversial.
But, like, it is a little controversial, you're right. Because they've been teasing it for so long. And I hate when authors, like, introduce you to, like, a supposed couple so early. And then you have to wait, like, 9 books to get it. Regardless of anything. But it is, now that you're saying that, it is a little controversial.
Yeah, for those who are not listening, you should read that series. I think you need to read that series. It's just like, there's like 19 books on those. Because you can read the Invicta series, the Callaway Sisters, and then the Lego series. But it's just so good.
I tell Cameron to read them. I say it's like watching an HBO TV show. It's reading a HBO TV show.
Yeah.
And you really feel like you're reading about celebrities. And these people feel like celebrities to you.
Yes, they are.
But they're book characters.
The problem with me was, like, I actually did pick up the first book.
That's right.
And I was like, I don't know how I feel about it.
The first book was for me, by the way. The first book was, I look at my Goodreads, and it was like, it's to NC, to this, to that. And so how I got addicted to the whole series. Then I'm reading them, like, back to back in, like, in the span of 2 weeks. And then I was like, I need more books in the series. But the first book was 2 stars. So.
Yeah.
That actually makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was just me. Like, I couldn't get into it.
No, I started with the first book in the Callaway Sisters series. So what's that? I don't forget what it's called.
Kiss the Sky, I think.
Yes, Kiss the Sky. I started with that, which it was a little confusing because I first hated Lily and Lo. I was like, ugh, Lilo, why am I reading about these two? But then I read their books and loved them. But that's the one I started with, and I recommend it because I think you really dislike Rose.
Yeah,
I think the Callaway Sisters is a better place. And, you know, here's the thing. I've gotten to the point that I do pay $5 a month to be in their Patreon so I can get the bonus scenes. And that's how much I really...
I did not know this. I have to join their Patreon.
Yeah, they have, like, a ton of bonus scenes. They post, like, 200 bonus scenes a month. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And there's, like, a backlist.
It's like this is, like, a dream come true for Gabby.
There's, like, 100,000 words. Like, it's, like, ridiculous. Like, they have bonus scenes for everything.
Oh, my gosh. You know, listen, their last book for the adults was, like, 700 words. Like, 700 pages. And it wasn't enough for me. That book was so long. It was, like, that thick.
It was not
the print. Yeah. And I was, like not enough.
Yes. It's, like, once you get sucked into the world, then you're just, like, part of it. You're, like, you're just, like, these are people not celebrities. They just want to be Kardashians. That's what happens.
It's like, who the Kardashians want to be?
Yeah.
So. I'm just kidding. I just love
it's, like, a good way of looking at it.
So my suggestion is give it a try. Skip the Lilo, go for Callaway Sisters. Try it. If you don't like them, then that's fine. But you may get sucked into the whole world and the Connor Rose.
Will get sucked in. I know she will.
Okay. You guys have officially renewed my faith in the series, so I will give it a chance.
So other than the Callaway Sisters, what else is your TBR, Cameron?
Let's see. So I'm really looking forward to reading Dirty Charmer by Emma Chase because I love all of her books and she does rom-com so well. So definitely looking forward to that. Also, you know, Ditto to Queen Moo by Kennedy Ryan. So excited to read that. Heart Bones by Colleen Hoover is one I'm also very excited about. I was, like, sucked in right from the cover, and we don't know what it's about per se, but I don't care. I just need to read that book. Come High or Hell Water. And I would also say, you know, Meet You in the Middle too, because I've been seeing a lot about that, and I'm just very curious about what the book is about, because I think, like, you need to at least give a book a chance before you completely dismiss it. So I at least, like, want to know, like, what I'm talking about. Like if I like the book, I want to know, you know, what I like about it. If I don't like the book, I want to be able to like actually talk about what I found, what issues I found with the book. Mm-hmm. So that, and I also really want to read The Roommate by Rosie Dannon, because I've just been hearing about it from so many different authors and readers. Like everyone is so excited about that book. I think it comes out in the fall. So that's one I have my eye on.
Tell us where we can find you online. First of all, tell us where we can find your podcast, and then where we can find you online.
Sure. So you can find our podcast. It's called, once again, the Literally Us Podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. It's basically on all major streaming platforms. You can also find all the available links at literallyuspodcast.com. Also, follow our Instagram at Literally Us Podcast, and you can find all the deets on upcoming episodes, who we're interviewing, what we have on our radar, all that good stuff.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us. We love it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.